I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
Did you get new glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they look great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They do look great.
I like those.
Thank you. I hope I have them for the rest of my life.
I like everybody's glasses here.
Ah, thank you.
Thanks. You got good glasses too, Vanessa.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's
I liked
a
your
wide
post
variety,
about how you
yeah.
were the Barb.
I'm Barb. I realized last night, I was like, oh no. Maybe we're all Barb.
A lot of people were very pro-Barb, let's
yeah.
just say, you know, in a way that was yeah. like, I'm just like her, you know.
I don't want to, well, I'm
nobody
not
wants
spoil
to be the
anything.
Friend.
Oh, thank God. I like, barely get that reference. I know who she is. I've seen two episodes.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm, okay, that's good.
She's
I almost just
she's super popular and cool. That's why I'm excited
line.
To
that's
look like
definitely
her.
What she meant. That was the indication. For sure.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's giving too much away.
Ooh,
like, behaviorally,
yeah.
were you the Barb, like, growing up? Were you, like, the
oh,
one that was
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, can we just go home?
Yes.
Can we just go home? No? Okay, I'll go sit on the diving board.
Yeah, yeah, that was totally me. I was always like, yeah, my hot friends are gonna go and, like, have sex in, like, I don't know, middle school, I guess.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah
like,
whatever they're
in. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, that's appropriate. It happens. It happened. And I'm just like, well, I'll wait down here.
Yeah, I guess to a certain extent, I've always had hot friends, too.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, blown my mind sometimes when, like, I'll hang out, I'll meet girls, whatever. When I went to college, like, I just happened upon the group, whatever, we're hanging out.
Yeah.
And then one day, all of a sudden, you, like, have that, like, what the hell are these hot girls doing with me? Like, and then
yeah.
you're like, what? Weird.
Awesome.
How is everyone I know so fucking attractive all the time?
Yeah.
They weren't even all theater people. Like, now,
mm-hmm.
it makes total sense to me why everyone's hot.
Right, right.
It makes total sense to me why every
yeah.
single one of us looks a little bit better than your regular person. Right?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter what anyone in this room thinks about themselves. I'm sorry, regular people in the world, but we are more attractive
yeah, yeah,
than
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
We just
I agree.
Are.
I agree.
I'm not big-headed by any means. I think you both know this. I feel pretty fine about myself. I'm okay. And I was looking at, like, pictures of people from, like, high school on social media. And I thought, oh, they look terrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I thought, like, oh no, it's just there are so many attractive people that I'm around all of the time that they just look like
they're normal.
They look abysmal by comparison.
yeah.
Oh, and then I was going to mention about like the junior high, the hot thing was I was just telling Malia this. I was in fifth grade. Somehow some confusion arose and I got put in an ESL class. English is not my second language, it is my first language.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And so, anyway, so I was in there with a lot of ESL kids, and there was this one girl, and her name was Nancy, and I don't remember her last name. This is fifth grade. I'm, like, 10 or 11. She had got held back from fifth grade twice. She was, like, 13, and she had just told us that she had just lost her virginity that summer when she was, like, 12. And we were like, what the fuck? I was freaking out internally because I knew that was, like, a grown-up
is
thing
like,
to
this
do.
This is bad.
Yeah, and I was
yeah.
I was a giant, like, well, this book says, like,
yeah.
like I, and just very by the book, and it really,
the book.
It really
yeah,
freaked
book,
me
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Well, then, because...
Was it true?
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I would believe it.
That's a
it.
Good question. Never
yeah.
occurred to me to doubt him.
I would believe it just because of like the things that she would talk about. And her boyfriend was like 18. She did not look 13. Also, she looked a lot older. She looked
yeah.
like she was like 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and she was not. But yeah, she also told me a lot of things that I think actually shaped. Like she had said something like, "Oh yeah, you know, like really," because I would correct people in that class a lot, and it wasn't because like their accents or anything. They would just like leave off.
So funny. And people like that grow up real stingy.
Oh, stingy because they couldn't bother to use that word. They were like, I don't need that word.
That's so funny. And I like reacted because that same thing happened to me, but when I was in kindergarten, I was put in an ESL class and I was like, huh? because there's another Vanessa Gonzalez, and like our whole school career, we got confused. They mixed us up, and they kept putting us in the wrong classes because we had the exact same name. Huh. But she was from Mexico, and yeah. I was just born a mile away from there in the United States.
Did you guys
States.
Ever, like, meet and, like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We knew each other. Yeah. We knew each other, and it was weird because we were kind of just annoyed at each other because it's like, oh, you keep messing up my life.
Oh, you know? I was hoping you guys would, you know, later in, like, high school or whatever, like, sort of do, like, a twin swap.
A sister-sister,
hey,
if you will.
Listen, I'm allowed to get into this, but I don't give a shit. You want to go to this concert? It's got my name on it. And then it's like, fuck yeah. Whereas so, now it's got your, like,
we're, oh, yeah. We were just, like, annoyed at each other. Like, I knew her, but we were never, like, good friends. I was just like, oh, I hate that you have my name and that we have to redo our schedules every year.
Just give me this other Vanessa. Yeah, fine, original Vanessa.
Yeah.
Vanessa one.
So yeah. as per usual, I pressed record bit ago. 10 minutes ago. So that's all in there, but we can go ahead and get started in the more official thing.
Yeah,
I was like, those stories feel, we can talk about things like that, but we don't need to pour Vanessa Gonzalez other. And, poor Nancy,
sure she'll
who is in, who's probably one of the
who's
people.
Who's raising a 25-year-old kid right now.
That's so funny. I made a joke earlier today about how in 10 years my grandkids are, like, I'm going to be really spiteful to my grandkids. And then somebody's like, wait, you're going to have grandkids in 10 years? Like,
you're
going to
expedite the process right now?
I was like, yeah, I don't even think, no matter how young the children would be, that's impossible. You'd wait at least
12 years, Nancy's age.
12 to 15, I guess. Did Nancy have a baby from Nancy's sexual experience?
I mean, not when I knew her, not the 8 months that I knew her.
You only knew her for 8 months?
Well, I moved a lot.
Oh,
so
right.
So by the time, I moved, like, in fifth grade by, like, March or something like that.
Oh, right on.
I was there for most of it.
I asked, like...
Knocked it out.
Yeah. I asked, like, if you knew it was true, just because I knew... Like, it did, like, some girls were having sex, but then others were just, like, yeah, me too, you know?
Yeah.
Not me. I was just like, nah, I don't do that. But there was this one girl in middle school, and she was like, I have a tattoo on my butt. And we're like... No, you don't. And then she's like, yeah, I have a tattoo. It's a butterfly. It's on my butt. And
we're
like,
butterfly.
Yeah. And we're like, well, show it to us. And she's like, nah, it's like too close to the crack. And we're like, we don't care. Like, show it. And she's like, nah, but it's like real close. And we're like, is it on the hole? Like, what is this? It was this whole discussion. We're like in sixth grade and like in the gym locker. We're like, just show us
just
your butt.
Just spread it. Just do it.
Like, show us your butt. And she's like, no. But she wouldn't like admit that she didn't. We're like, you don't have a tattoo, you're 12, like, or 13 or whatever.
That actually reminds me of, I don't know how many of you even know this, because I don't really show people my boobs quite as much as I used to, but I have a tattoo on my chest between my two breasts, which means...
I did not know that.
I think I knew. Yeah, I mean, you've definitely known me long enough to have seen me in times when I was single and... trying to mingle. But anyway, the thing that you don't think about, because just now when you were like, she had a tattoo on her butt, where is it on the hole? And I was like imagining the moment when like a person who would get a tattoo there, how they have to stand, that there need to be multiple people helping in the assistance of this.
I'm sure.
No, it's happened. Happened. I've seen like funny, gross websites, you know, like NSFW websites where it's like, look at these terrible tattoos. And then it always builds to on a place you just wouldn't think anybody would ever let a needle.
And
like
they
do. A bunch of
right.
And they do for no reason, for not even a good payoff. It's never like, that was the one. That justifies the butt tattoo.
No, but the reason why I was thinking is like disgusted.
I get one like on you, like your cheek. Like, sure, that's a great idea. But like in your, you know, would hurt.
Is there a place that is that the worst place you think there is to get a tattoo, or is there one other place that
well,
you would not get?
The irony is that now I do have a tattoo on my butt.
but not on your butthole, right?
Not on the whole.
Is butthole the worst place to put a tattoo?
Probably butthole.
I would think the butt itself would be a great place to get a tattoo.
No, Delia takes notes because then we write a blurb that says, like, we talked about blank, blank, and blank.
All right, I did
so
not
that's
fart.
What she did. No, you're
fine. The chair.
I imagine the butt would actually be a good place to get a tattoo, just in the sense of, like, just being, you know,
it was,
a little more, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to have it in a place where there's a lot of nerves.
Yeah, or where it's touching a bone.
A lot.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was because it was, like, a lot of, like, fat there. And I was like, I didn't think this was going to be this bad, but I felt, like, pain shooting down my legs as it was happening. I was like...
Oh, no. That means that the location that it is a location of, like, a nerve spot on your body.
It's, like, sensitive, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, you can get... sometimes masseuses...
Masseurs.
When they massage, sometimes if you have like a problem up in your neck or like in certain spots, they'll massage your butt because the nerve goes all the way up your back and it can cure what ails you up in the neck.
From
the
butt.
And it's like a legit...
Not the hole.
Those nerve endings go everywhere.
Right. We have to always clarify.
Just
write
not the
hole.
That's what it is. Hashtag not the hole.
For this episode.
You have other tattoos too, correct?
Yes.
So,
wait, what's your butt tattoo? I'm sorry.
It's a daisy duck.
It's a what?
Awesome.
It's a
daisy duck. Donald's girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, Donald's girlfriend, and she's real mad.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like the idea that there's a tattoo with a mad face when someone gets to your butt.
Yeah.
So, like, when they, like, are down there looking at your butt, they're all like, should I feel bad? Should I get out of here? Which
it doesn't matter how much fun we're having. Check yourself. Just be aware of what's happening.
It's just her head, and she's mad, and she's got a bow. And it's really cute. It's really well done. And I got it a long time ago. For funds, and it's funny, like, having to explain that when I had, like, a promiscuous year, it was, but I thought, just for my own amusement, when a guy would be like, you have a tattoo on your butt? And I'd be like, no. just to mess with them, and see their face, I'm like, yeah, I do.
You know what, before we get to Vanessa's other tattoos, which I'm very interested in, I wanted to tell the story of mine, which was the reason why I brought it up was because the idea of holding your butt open to be tattooed is an awkward experience. Also, is getting a tattoo between your breasts because
you have to be topless.
And then you have to hold them to the sides. And I was, how old was I? Like 20 or something.
Like,
and
right on your diaphragm?
Nervous.
Is that what we're talking
about?
Your ribs?
Right there.
Yeah.
That's it. Nerves, they tried to talk me out of it.
Yeah.
In the place, they were like, hey, don't do that. That's not a good spot. And I was like, why? And they're like, number one, it's very little skin and fat and then bone. Yeah. And it's a sensitive spot because it doesn't get any sun, so it doesn't have any, like, you know, thickness stops it from anywhere else. And I was like, fuck you, this is where I'm getting it. And I couldn't be more happy, actually, that this is where I have my tattoo, because nobody knows it's there, and because never, if someone wants me to be topless, say, in a movie, it's only going to help. It's not, no one's going to be like, I'm mad about the tattoo between her breasts in her being topless in this scene. Right. Like, if I'm topless, shit's going on.
Yeah.
So they're down with having tattoos at that point.
Right. That was a sell for me on the butt tattoo also, because it's like, no, it's just for me. It's a silly thing.
Yep. Yeah.
No one's gonna see it. And, like, I had always wanted a daisy duck because growing up, my family called me duck face. Just because of my, like, lips, I guess, of my mouth. So I was like, oh, it's like a little thing. And I thought about it. I'm like, I don't want a daisy duck on my arm or anything. So it's there. And she keeps getting madder every year. Every year she gets more mad.
That's so
good. Oh, that's so funny.
Like, it's like the butt of the joke kind of thing. But then you're just like, this is, like, instead of feeling weird about it, like, owning it. That's great.
Yeah. I am. I mean, it's there. There's.
What order?
Coming out.
So funny.
It wasn't your first tattoo.
No.
Okay. How many of those tattoos, like, how many of the tattoos that you have are, like, for fun, as you said it earlier, because it was like for fun, you know.
All of them,
right? Yeah. Just like spur of the moment things.
Yeah, like my first tattoo was on my 18th birthday. I was I'm gonna go do this. What? I want that. Like on the wall, and it's a butterfly on my ankle.
Nice.
Yeah, and then the second one I have on my foot, and it's a bomb for hand bomb. So it was a friendship tattoo.
Nice.
So Michael Folk has one too, and also Alex Berry has one on her foot. She doesn't know their original hand bomb. She moved to New York though.
Does it kind of break your heart a little bit to hear her just ask who?
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God.
Alex
and Vanessa ran the theater when Chris and Tammy first left, mm-hmm. and even before that a little bit. But for maybe like a year and a half, Alex and Vanessa ran the whole thing. So Alex was so the center of everything. When we moved to Lavaca, she did so much. There was so much that happened that she did, and it was so
crazy.
She
like found the space. Like, even, you know, her and Jay Vickers.
Jay Vickers, yeah. I actually almost met the guy who, like, legitimately, like, who was friends with Jay Vickers. He called to see if he could use it to film something and was like, yeah, I'm the guy who found the space. And I was like, what? Yeah. Well, hey, let's hang out. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even know where to look for stuff? Like,
for real.
But then it got canceled, so I didn't get to meet him. But I was still, like, talked to him on the phone a couple times, like, what?
Yeah.
And now he does, like, location shots for, you know, lots of different companies, you know, when there's filming and stuff.
Yeah,
so I was like,
so
wow.
Awesome.
Wild.
Yeah, I'm totally game for, like, friendship tattoos or, like, mm-hmm. anything silly. My brother wants to get one with me. I'm like, sure, whatever you want. I'll do it.
It's so fun. I got one with my brother.
Oh, cool.
We got sharks. It's the same one. We just have them in different spots.
Nice.
And then I got a friendship tattoo with my old roommate.
Oh.
And do I regret it? Sometimes.
Why? Because you don't talk to them
anymore? We don't talk anymore.
But do you not talk because you hate each other, or do you not talk because life moved you on?
I think it's a combination of both.
Mm.
It was, at first it was like a moving away thing, and then I think she, maybe while she was out there, she thought about our friendship, and she realized, like, she didn't want to be friends with me.
Mm.
And I was still trying to, like, maintain our friendship and doing a lot of work. And then I think she, and then I started realizing as well, like, oh, wait, I'm basically in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is about you and you just coming to me when you're in a problem and I'm here to make you feel better. Mm. And you know what? I'm done. That's really
good
unfair.
For you.
So now it's just like, I'm not making any effort to talk to you and you're not either, which is fine because we are in completely different points in life. And I don't know if we will be friends again.
Mm-hmm.
If so, like, that's fine, but I don't think we actually did like actual damage to each other.
Mm.
Or maybe, I don't know. I'm still like, I still feel kind of weird about it.
Right.
But
who knows? Like,
yeah.
You might like cross paths again. Mm-hmm. Like, you never know. It's
mm-hmm.
it's crazy how, like, you know, things shift, people move in and out of your life. You don't expect, you know, like,
yeah.
I didn't know Alex was gonna move to New York, you know, and we were like, yeah, we're gonna do this and we're gonna run the theater and stuff. But then she was like, no, you know what? In the end, like, my heart's not really here. And, like, I totally get that, you know? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? My heart's not really in this either, like, running the theater. I'm like, this is a lot of pressure, you know, to keep up and stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I just want to perform. And, like, we kind of had that, like, talk and, like, realization. But, yeah, the tattoo for me is, like, more than, like, a hand bomb tattoo. It's, like, a theater tattoo, I
right.
feel like. Like,
yeah.
When I, like, ran the theater and, like, that whole time in my life, I feel like I changed a lot. Like, I had to, like, step up and do all these things that I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't know I was going to run a theater, you know? It happened real fast when it happened, too. They were like, Chris and Tammy came, or I found them, took classes. It was great. And then they decided to move to New Orleans. And they're like, we're moving. Do you want to do this? I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then it was great. I wouldn't take it back. I think it really, like, helped me grow, find out a lot of stuff about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Get more confidence, too, I think. I got a lot of confidence. I didn't think I could, like, be a leader in that, like, sense. And I was like, oh, I could do this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to Alex?
Yeah. Occasionally, like, we keep in touch, like, phone call, text, tag each other, and, like, Instagram on things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go to New York in October just for, like, to hang out and maybe do some stand-up shows, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, like, hang out. Yeah.
Have you done shows in New York before?
I haven't performed in New York. I've performed in, like, a lot of different cities, but New York is the one I have yet to, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I want to do some shows there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you ever, remember, I feel like this was a festival that you did. There was a festival in town, and there was this, I want to say it was over at, like, Salvage Vanguard. I think you were part of it. But there was this group from New York called Skinny Bitch Jesus Meeting. Did you ever know that group? Oh, okay. They had come there and they had done a couple of they did stand up and sketch, and they had and it was horrifying. I mean, it was great, but it was, like, horrifying.
Yeah,
I mean, Skinny
yeah.
Skinny Bitch Jesus Meeting explains. You know what I mean? You're like, okay. And they're from New York, and I know them, and they still do stuff in town. And I'll see if I can't figure out where they are.
Oh, yeah. Because
I feel like they'd be a good crowd to connect with.
Oh, yeah,
They'd have the people that were doing the kinds of things that you'd want to do.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But, yeah. No, New York is pretty wild. And, it's so funny. It's like, I'm sure we've all worked with people. You probably have people, like, that you talk to regularly, and you're like, wait, you're in New York? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I don't know why. I just haven't made it out there in a while. Like,
it's a little expensive, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But I'm excited to go and do some shows there, finally.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Yeah.
You went to L.A., though, yeah?
Yeah, I've performed in L.A. The first time I performed in L.A., was with my first sketch group, like, 8 years ago, was with the Latino Comedy Project.
Mm-hmm.
We did a sketch show run over there. And then I've gone back since to do, like, my own sketch shows and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Like your solo show?
Yeah.
So, in my brain, I'm like, that's fucking insane, and good job.
Thanks.
How do you like L.A.?
It's great. It's big. Okay.
I've never been, and I'm scared. So that's, I mean.
It's real pretty, great weather. It's definitely hard to get around in. Mm. But they have Uber, so that's good.
And
you can't park anywhere.
So you should probably just Uber.
You should just Uber. But yeah, it's really fun. Yeah, I like
awesome.
LA. I've been to New York a lot of times, but New York is also, I feel like it's more intimidating to me, where I'm like, I don't know how to get to anywhere. I have to read this subway map and I'm confused. But
interesting. I asked about LA after New York, because in my mind it's like those are kind of like the you're gonna go do your shows there, when you tell people you've done shows there, it, like, raises the level of it, whether no matter what kind of show it was. Even if you're like, I did this open mic in New York City, people are like, what? And it's like, no, it's still an open mic. But they don't care. Just the idea of having gone to LA, and I wondered if LA felt more comfortable, and then you answered the question without me having to ask.
Yeah, I'd say LA is definitely more comfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm also very much a, like, small town gal.
Mm-hmm.
I, Yeah.
Well, I've recently come in contact with a couple of actors that are located here, but that do work all over the place.
Oh, nice.
And have been informed, you know, and from people that I really trust, that you can do that. Like, you can legitimately have your home base be here and do gigs in L.A., do gigs in Atlantic, do gigs in New York, do gigs in Canada, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can travel because planes exist and because it's really not that bad if you're, once you're making a certain amount acting, you know, you can certainly pay for plane tickets and stuff like that. I mean, my husband and I considered getting a credit card through JetBlue so that every time we used it, it was accruing points.
Nice.
So that then I could start traveling and using the points, and then the points beget the points and all that stuff.
Did you say the points beget the points?
They do.
They did.
I just really liked how it sounded.
The points.
Wait, you accrue points even on your free flights as well?
I mean, yes and no. I think you continuously get the mileage, you know what I mean, towards stuff.
Yeah, totally.
But also, when you're using a card that has the points, if I buy the ticket, that gets me points.
Yeah.
Then I take the travel, that gets me points. Then, so it's like, every time I buy the ticket, it's helping me get a free ticket
eventually. Should do that. I've been, like, traveling every year, doing festivals and stuff, so it definitely adds up.
See, I've just been muling drugs, so I mean, that's
then you have to have a credit card with
so
many
points.
You're
gonna look legit as hell. No,
man, Wendell, the idea that you're like totally fine with a bunch of shit up your butt is like so not surprising at all.
No, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, make do with what God gave you. You know? It's like, you get a lot of you get a lot of volume. I mean, exactly. And you know, it's all efficient on the way out too. Everything works. You know, it's cool. You know, it didn't have
that's
a bow tie on it.
So
but
many
now
points.
It does.
You said small town, but where are you from?
I'm from Laredo.
Okay.
Laredo.
I didn't know
Texas.
That.
Texas.
Okay.
And then, which is, I guess it's growing. It's getting bigger. And then Austin is giant also, but it has like a big city, little city.
See, Austin is huge to me.
I think so.
Yeah, Austin is huge to me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And a lot of people, I was going to say, and that's the reaction I get when I say that. It's like, well, you know, check out anywhere else. Like, it's like, I've been in Dallas and Houston, and Houston terrifies me in the sense of, I'm driving for 30 minutes and I'm still in Houston.
Right.
Like, I'm still in a city.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
You drive 2 hours and still be in Houston.
Yeah, no,
oh,
like,
for real. Yeah.
It's, you cannot,
San
once you're
Antonio
in, it's like Inception,
huge,
it's just
too.
Chasing you, you know, like, just like a wave of
Texas,
city.
In and of itself, as a state, is kind of like, I like, part of why I moved to Texas had to do with, like, the idea of it being super huge and me being like, oh yeah, I could do that, no worries, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, as if somehow it was, like, my tiny little corner of the world, which, like, felt so, like, I was so done with it. I was like, New England, dumb. New York, dumb.
Yeah.
Like, and then I was like, I'm going down to the biggest state they got.
Yeah.
Conquer it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, whatever that might be.
It's all about the surface area and how it can just be spread out. Yeah, I know. I get that. And, well, like, this is about as big a city as I can really, really be comfortable in. It took me a year. Just, like...
Where are you from?
I'm from South Carolina.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nice. So it doesn't get a lot smaller. Well, I mean, it does get a lot smaller, like, especially once you go up the East Coast a little bit, like New England. I was going to say, like, it's just a bunch of tiny little states jammed in.
I think, like, Rhode Island's the size of, like, you know, half of Austin.
Yeah.
I bet you could fit, like, I'm pretty sure my math is right, like, 3 billion Rhode Islands in Texas. Like
3 billion?
3 billion.
3 billion? You know what? Here's another fun thing. We're not going to look that up.
And suns.
We're not going to look that up at all.
Yeah. We can fit 2 suns in Texas. I think so.
The surface area of the moon is like just pretty much what the Tower of UD is.
We're basically carrying the entire U.S. economy on our shoulders.
Yes.
Directly. I was like, wow, we went from surface area to economy.
Real big. You should run for office. Texas.
It's just because I look good with a pen.
Yeah. You look so great with a pen next to you.
Just like put it on my nose.
Just hold it. I love Austin so much. I don't know if I couldn't see myself like living in LA or New York.
Mm-hmm.
I like it here, and I'm totally down with that, like, travel and do the gigs and come back to home. I mean, if if an opportunity came along, I would definitely go and move if I had to, but...
Yeah, but the beauty is that you never really have to be anywhere. And if you have, say you have people, so I got my husband, right? He'll just stay in the house.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the other thing, too. It's like, if you're single, you know, you can just go on and do what you gotta do and bounce back if you want to or not. It's up to you, but, you know,
I love
having a
traveling.
Home base is nice.
Yeah. I also want to go to Portland. I haven't been to Portland.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Maine is also
good.
Have
you been?
I've never been to Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. I lived in Portland, Maine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's why I always go, which one?
Yeah. I didn't know about the other one.
It's okay. How long have you been in Austin?
A little more than 8 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And did you move here for comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Texas State for college.
Sure.
Did the theater program there. Knew I wanted to be like an actor, performer.
Right.
And then while I was in college, I started looking up like comedy in Austin, and that's how I found the Latino Comedy Project. And then I started doing shows with them, and then shortly after working with them, Dan Grimm, who was our tech, he was like our tech guy, he was actually teaching classes at the New Movement. The New Movement had just started up, and he was like, you guys should come take improv classes with us. It's super fun and cool, a thing we're doing. So I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's how you and Donu were in the same class then,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, Donu and I started together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. We talked to Yamina, and I was talking about how Delta Burka is one of my favorite all-time, like, you know, troupe that born out of a class.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that was really
just such
fun.
A great group. So formative. Every person in the troupe is still super active. That's one of the things that's always, like, I always get real proud about, like, if I'm with a group, not just, like, I don't care if anyone's famous, but if they're still doing it,
mm-hmm.
they're still active and being part of this world, no matter what it has to give them,
yeah.
I like them. They're the best ones.
They're still
because
alive.
Because they're trying. They're still, you know, beating down the door.
It was so weird how, like, I actually didn't know that Donu was, like, one of the OGs.
Yeah.
We did, like, when I started doing Neighborhood with you, she was doing it. And
yeah,
I remember, like,
that's how
working
she
with her and
it.
Stuff. And just, like, talking to her, that was just never something, you know, like, we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But she just liked having conversations, and it was just really cool. And I was just, like, recently, I've seen stuff you've posted, and it's like, hey, look at Donu. That's crazy. I didn't know that she was, like, kind of making a circle, like, she was coming back to the theater as opposed to one of the new guests. Like, that was how approachable she was.
It's funny how that is when people come back around that haven't been around for a little while, and then other people are like, oh, wow, this person is new and exciting.
Very popular.
And like, they're around.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do they immediately get invited to all the parties? You know,
right,
it's like, oh, they've known
they
them
know
for
them.
6 years.
Yeah.
I remember that happened to, I had that same thought process with Yamina. Because whenever I started, I think it's when she had come back.
From New York,
And I think I was waiting in the lobby, and she was also in the lobby, and I think I said hey to her or something. And I think I had asked her, like, what she was there for, and I remember, I'm more than likely wrong, I remember her saying, like, a class. Ooh. I remember thinking, oh, that's cool. And I thought, like, she was...
Take the class.
Yeah, I thought she was new. And obviously completely wrong, but I was just like, oh, that's cool. And then we just talked, and anytime I saw her, it was just like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And then I think just like over time, like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
So I guess, have you seen like a lot of people go and come back, or is it a relatively small group?
Yeah, I'd say a small group until Yamina came back, and I don't, maybe just her.
I mean, I guess technically Donu, because she went off and did her gigs and then would come back, and she'll be back and forth here and there.
Yeah.
There's also people that like went off to New Orleans, like half of Delta Burka, half
they live in New Orleans
class.
Now.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, went to New Orleans.
Britt Wright.
Mike Breeze.
Michael Domingue.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you feel about New Orleans? Like, does New Orleans, like... I mean, because... I got to Austin, and I was just like, this is... Yep, nailed it. Nailed it. Because it was a real shot in the dark for me. I just moved and just hoped where I landed was going to work. And I was like, for many years, just really enjoyed it. And then I went to Hell Yes Fest last year, and I was like, shit!
Yeah, shit, I know. New Orleans. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's how everyone feels. Yeah. And it's like... And it's the same, like... I feel like if I were to move somewhere, I would probably pick New Orleans, you know, because it's like, it's the same kind of vibe. I'm like, we're not weird. Austin's not weird. New Orleans is weird.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have like live music. I'm like, no, they're the thing.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's so great though. And it's the city's just so full of like arts and performing. And it's just so great.
Yeah. It's like Austin and New Orleans are like sister cities, but Austin's like the slightly louder, lamer sister.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well,
the one that
look at all my tattoos I got. Aren't I cool?
I'm weird.
I have not a duck on my butt. Listen to me. Not on the whole.
I was going to say that I find that, I guess it's almost like, I can't even remember the name of this movie, so I'm not even going to make the reference. It's a Bette Midler movie that I have in my head.
Beaches.
Dirty Wives, or First Wives Club.
Nope.
Dirty Wives.
That's what he was saying about. That's a different
Bette
movie.
Bette Midler did it for me. And yeah, no, that's a whole other thing.
No. There are sister cities, and one sister is the one that's career-minded, wears a business suit, is like, I'm doing this with my career, and the other one's like wearing a long skirt and
Bohemian.
And like, you know, playing a sitar and and hanging out with the like people in the middle of the field or whatever, like,
and also killing it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No matter what, but like. There's a Bette Midler movie where she and Lily Tomlin are twins, and two of the sets of the twins are businessy, and two of the sets of the twins are like country. Big business, I think, is what it's called. I was like, we don't look it up so that when people listen, they get super annoyed because we're giving incorrect information.
We didn't look up how many Rhode Islands can fit in Texas. Or sons.
30 billion, clearly the number.
I'm not backing down from that. So if you want to come after me, then do it.
Nice.
Wow, this one's getting rowdy.
Yeah.
No.
I don't fucking V8. I don't give a shit.
I'm a V8.
I thought you guys said she was quiet.
She's recently coming into her own.
She's very excited. Oh, great. She came into her own on this episode.
I can't do that thing that you do.
I don't know.
No, yeah.
Oh, when you were single?
Single and ready to mingle. The ready to mingle dance is...
That's Amy's
something I wanted to acknowledge to the microphone.
I was like, microphone, it means I'm shaking my boobs. I don't know why that's weird.
You know the ready to mingle dance.
It's not weird. It's just I can't do it. So I admire you for doing it.
You can do it.
Technically, but I...
When you get tattoos that decorate your breasts, you have a tendency to know how to shake them around.
There's like a second shake that happens at the ribcage because like your shoulders are doing one thing.
Like Wendell can do it.
Yeah.
If Wendell has,
only tattoo I have is a boobie tattoo, so like I'm right there with you on that.
What's yours?
A boobie tattoo?
It's a comic book. It starts here. It's a boob. Yeah, it's a boobie tattoo. I mean, it's not a tattoo of a boobie.
I thought it was one boob.
I thought
that's what it was.
It's like nice.
Runs all the way up.
Oh, cool.
And it's so funny because, like, I got it here because I'm not really one to just rip my shirt off all the time. So this is a tattoo
for me. For you.
Yeah,
yeah,
like most girls don't find out about it until, like, we're getting romantic. That's
normally
where it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly. I'm always wearing a robe, Delia. How did you know that? That's so weird.
Because you look like a robe wearing motherfucker.
I am be honest, I'm surprised you're not wearing a robe more often.
Hey,
you should wear a robe.
I left it at the theater. I left it at the theater
for the podcast.
You know, because that's where I'm my most comfortable. Like yeah. I'm like Roy. I just leave my robes at the theater, yeah. just in my pipes and my fezzes.
Like sorting.
I wish we had like a. I wish the entire thing was just with the clothing rack was just filled with robes. Like right. that's all we had at the theater. Every scene needed a robe.
Just a bunch yeah. of like, and just a,
then,
just a whole
then
shelf
we
of
would definitely
movies.
Be a cult. If everyone has a robe on, that's
welcome.
Like the only thing we're missing.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah.
We have a newly freed up robe for you. Yeah. Don't mind the blood.
Yeah.
Lots of stains.
Oh my god, that's so funny. So I'm gonna bring us back to our conversation about like New Orleans and Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And where you think you're going, or the idea that if you moved, that would be it.
Yeah.
So my question is kind of like, what do you think you're like working on next? What's your like next big goal in your life?
Well, these past 2 years, I've been doing a lot more stand-up, which has been going really well. So I want to keep working on that. I definitely want to do another solo show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, my next thing is I'd like to take my solo shows that I have done and make them into a web series.
Great.
So kind of like sketchy mixed with, you know, my first two were sketch shows and then my third one was like a storytelling show.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like a mix of those three, like having sketches in between real life stuff.
Nice.
Right, that sounds great.
That's what I want to cook up soon. And then, yeah, keep doing stand-up. Stand-up is always scary for me, but it's fun to do. Like, I like the challenge of it. And then I'm also coming back around and, like, loving improv more every time I do it. Like, I get to do it every week with Michael still, which is fun. And every time we do it, I'm like, yeah, that feels so good. And, like, just, I don't know. My passion for it is coming back around. Because I started with it, and I was like, when I started improv, I was like, this is it. I'm in love. I love this. This is so great. Then we started getting into sketch. Then kind of like delved into that. I'm like, oh, this, I love this. Then we did stand up and I'm like, oh, this is fun. And then kind of jumping back to improv now is great.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I wonder if that'll help when you do the filming, actually, because there's been a lot of talk recently of, you know, using improv in films and not in the dumb way that they do in auditions where you have to say the same lines, but then they
go,
hey, just improvise if that's what you want to do. And
but
like,
say these words.
But these words, these are the words I have to say. You're like, okay, great. But more in the, like, you know, almost Christopher Guest, like, let him talk for a little while kind of scenario. What are your thoughts on that for your filming process?
Oh, that definitely, like, when I think of filming that and like the characters and stuff, that's what I want to do, is just kind of like, okay, now let's just fuck around with these, you know, and play and dig more into it, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, did you ever do the, I remember CJ did that like a character a day thing? Is that like a specific exercise that many people do? Because I saw a few other, but I thought maybe it was a New Orleans thing.
Oh, no. If you ever have a chance, you should check those out. They're still on his YouTube page. Like,
yeah.
He did it twice, so there's, like, two rounds of their character a day bits. And, like, I think it was the first time he did it, I stayed with him. We were doing the training camp, so I stayed with him in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these are, like, one-minute videos. So I'm thinking, you know, you turn on the camera and just kind of go fly. Like, no, that's not how he works. You know, his process was, like, I'm going to spend hours, like, crafting this character and then filming it for 1 minute, you know, for his character a day. Like, he would really, really, like, dig into something and like try things out, voices, wigs, and then like find a game, trying to find a game with it all. And I was just like, damn, this is a lot of work you're putting into. But they were all great. Like, so many came out of that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. The reason why I brought it up was I wondered if you had done any sort of similar thing to prepare, because you have so many characters. If it's more of a like a sort of an exercise that where you create them or how they come to you.
I mean, I definitely like I do my writing every day. Like I do my like my exercises and and like my pages. But I don't know if I'd want to put something up. You know, like really commit to like putting something up. Because I just feel like it would. I don't know, writing for me, it's like, I don't want to worry about, like, does it have to be perfect by the end of today, you know, I kind of just like spewing stuff out, and not being afraid, because I feel like that fear of, like, starting to write something, especially comedy, I feel like people always, like, they don't even want to start, because they're like, well, it's gonna suck, you know, so it's like, I like to push through that fear by just like, fuck it, whatever. There's no consequence. There's no stakes. I'm just getting it pen on paper, you know? And I think that that's when, like, my best stuff comes out, when I'm just able to flow. But, yeah, if I was like, hey, everybody, wait for my video every day, I'd be like, oh, no. What did I do? But yeah. CJ's definitely hats off to him for doing that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it helped his writing, and but that again, it's his own process.
You right, know I mean? Exactly.
Like, and your some process people, is yours.
Some people need that like deadline, you know, or something to be accountable for to like write.
Yeah, I like a deadline, but I don't need it to be that intense. Like, I was always a little intimidated of, like, the bad example once a week situation. I was like, I don't...
Girl.
And people, I mean, even now, Michael will be like, do you guys want to go weekly? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure you could,
like,
but...
I like 2 weeks off. I like the 2 weeks where it's like... Let's remember why we like each other again. Okay, sweet.
And otherwise, that's the thing, like, with Bad Example, it's great. And the first couple months, I'm like, yes, this is what I need. Like, the push and, like, there's no time to think. We just got to write and do. And, like, lots of great things came out of that because no one's really in their head. We're just like, it's got to work. No matter what it is, it's got to work. Come Fairy, it's gotta work. Whatever that is, like, so we're like, that's a dumb idea. We gotta make it happen because we need to have a show. But then after a while, it's like, yeah, we start spewing stuff out that it's like, ah, am I really proud of this one, or did I really put my all into this? No, I just kind of shat it out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely crazy, and that was just weekly, and having like 10 more writers with me.
Yeah,
I could imagine putting out a video every day of like a really solid character. I'm not like, oh, I'm just gonna improv. I'll put a hat on and like make something happen, you know, which I could probably do, but actually like spending like 3 hours before that, like every day, and putting out like, wow. That was impressive.
I like that.
You had mentioned how you like to, whenever you're writing, you just like to spew everything out, that works out really well for you. I think you had kind of touched on it, but just because I'm curious, do you feel like if whenever you get the opportunity to spill everything out and you go back and look at it, maybe to try to elaborate on it, well, I don't know if you even do that. But do you find that, like, that first iteration of it, like, the spewing it out, is actually like, oh, this is actually good. Like, I only have to do, like, a little bit of work to this.
Yeah, sometimes. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it does, like, when you're just, like, not thinking and you're not worried about what it's going to be, and you go back, it's like, oh, actually, I really like this, you know? And then sometimes you're like, this doesn't make sense. You know, there's some days where I'm like, I got nothing, but I just want to, like, you know, commit to my, like, pages and stuff. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm writing. Girl that doesn't know what to write, you know? It's like, I'm just kind of forcing stuff out. But it's good to, like, have that too, you know? But yeah, it just varies. And I think it's just good to, like, write and not think sometimes. And then you can go back and start refining, like, oh, I really like this. Or, like, this was a weird thing.
Well, I think it's good to definitely, I don't know, if you love everything you write down, then
yeah,
exactly. Then it's gonna be hard for you.
Right. And that's not, yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, you can't love it all. And that's the thing, like, for me, it's just, like, getting, like, writing it. It's just, like, just write it. You know, there's no stakes. Don't worry about it. Just get it out there. Because even I still, like, I'm, like, I get that, like, fear wall, and I'm like, what is the big deal? Just get it, like, just write something. And yeah. I'm like, no, like, I don't want to.
Oh, you know, I feel like, I feel like, though, and I don't know if this will help or hinder, but I feel like our contribution as the writer is only, like, half the battle. You right. know what I mean? Like, you've taken the ones that you've liked, you've developed them, and then you put them in front of an audience. And I'm sure after you do those shows a couple times, you decide, well, the audience doesn't love this one, I'm going to change it. Or yes. the audience isn't reacting, so I have to adjust this thing to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find, like, so helpful is the idea of, you know, having an audience to experience yes. what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there are definitely, and sometimes too, we've had discussions, like, with the neighborhood where they're like, well, why don't we just do one a month? And I go, no, we need two. And they're like, I don't see why. And I was like, because by the second one, I've learned what the audience, you're not watching it because you're in the scene. I'm watching the audience. I know what they laughed at. So I'm going to be like, make this thing funnier, change this thing
yeah.
for next week, because then we know a little bit better. And then when absolutely. I go back to rewrite those sketches, I'm able to, like, figure out, what the audience liked, how that worked out. And whenever, like, I teach sketch one, when we get to the point where they do the recital, I'm like, this is the part where you realize how to edit it next.
Yeah. Like, oh, I completely agree. I think every time I've done, like, any of my solo shows, I've done, like, a run, and doing them multiple times, I've definitely, like, found new things, or, you know, in the moment stuff, and, like, reading the audience and all that stuff. And it's like, oh yeah. And then yeah, there's just some that we're like, I gotta just take that out. It makes sense in my mind, but
yeah,
it's not working. And that's totally fine too, you know, like,
yeah,
no harm, no foul.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense. But then there's also, like, really dumb stuff that you just, like, really want to be in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's really that it's not funny. It's just for the sake yeah. of everything else sort of flowing, and there being enough time.
Right.
You have to sacrifice stuff that you, I mean, that, yeah. is good. You just don't have the time.
Can't
to,
love it.
And I'm and I'm totally, like, if it's a fucking dumb thing, and I believe in this, like, I'll fight for it. And I'll be like, no. I know this is dumb. That's the point.
I've definitely done that before.
Same yeah, stand-up. There are just exactly. like some bits that I just like. Yeah, I get it. 4 minutes is not enough to round this whole idea out.
Right.
But one day somebody's gonna just not give me a light, and I'm just gonna keep going, and it's gonna make sense. You know, you gotta
exactly.
just some things take time. Some things take time.
And that's I think as like that's the key in comedy, is like sticking to what you think is funny
yeah.
and not trying to be like a thing, or, you know, it's like, if it makes you laugh.
And yeah, being like modest enough to just understand, like, not right now is more what
exactly,
you're saying than like
yeah.
never. It's just like,
oh yeah, I'm always down for an edit. Like, I'm never
right.
saying
yeah.
scrap it, throw it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, you just need to tweak that so that they get it the way
yeah.
you get it.
Right.
It's not
also
that
the
your
performance
idea.
Could
yep.
be true. Like, maybe you're just do it like the like presentation
yeah,
of
the
it's
delivery,
wrong.
The
delivery,
timing and
yeah.
everything. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and
oh.
until you hear it out loud, or until you like witness people watching it, you're not like, oh, I see
yeah.
now
yeah.
what we needed to do to
right.
make this better.
I was going to ask you about, like, the sticking to what you love thing, if it was mainly like just like enthusiasm even for like what you're pitching. Because I did part two of on Saturday.
Nice.
And it really freaked me out because I was the only non-stand-up performer. And so I got up there, I got onto the stage and was just really frantic.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hello, let me get to it. And then just went to it. And Malia had done it, I think, the month or maybe 2 months before I had.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, yeah, just be, like, enthusiastic about what you're pitching. And then, like, sticking to what you wanted to do because of what you found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then packaging it, like, yeah, this was the idea that I had and I think it's really great. And you should also think that it's great, too.
Yeah.
So
did
I wondered,
it go well?
I think so. Yeah. I also get really in my head, and I think I was shaking because I was just, like, really nervous.
Me, too. My first part, too, Chris True was in the contest with me, so, like, yeah, I was terrified.
Yeah.
I did not, like, I was just... Yeah, I was not as confident, so I get that.
Yeah, like, I had my notebook, and I was just, like, trying not to hold it, because it was just, like,
No, and that's the thing, too, is, like, selling it, you know, like, whatever, if you think it's funny, and, yeah, you're enthusiastic about it, then he's gonna be like, okay, I'm with you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, because I feel like in performance of any comedy, stand-up, improv, sketch, like, if there's even, like, the slightest, like, doubt or fear that the audience can read in you, I feel like that's when, like yeah. especially in improv, when you're, like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, or, like, is this the right... And, like, not making, like, really confident choices, the audience is like, yeah, I'm not buying it either, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, I kind of don't either. Like,
just feels uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like they can read that, so, like... I've always, like, there's this one particular sketch that I did in my second solo show. It was, like, my opening one, and it would either go really good or really bad, and I noticed that it would go really bad when I was very nervous, and I'm like, no, I got this. I'm, like, trying to pump myself, like, up and be like, yeah, but, like, inside I'm like, fuck, you know, and I felt like they could, like, feel that. And then on the nights where I was just like, here I go, like, I'm not scared, I'm ready, I'm confident, I've done this, it would, like, hit super hard. So I'm convinced that the audience is, like, a baby or a dog.
Very much so. Yeah.
I think people can feel energy. Yeah. No, it's true, a baby or a dog. That's so funny.
Like, they have their, like, I know that you're, like, not into this or afraid or something, you know.
Yeah.
A puppy.
Yeah, they're a puppy.
And yeah, like, and the same goes with stand up. Like, it is impossible to want to laugh if someone's, like, misspeaks or stutters on their punchline.
Right.
Like, the whole crowd just
like,
does it. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Like, in my head, knowing what you wanted to say, but you fucked up the funny part.
Right.
You know? Like, you, this is the part that's supposed to set us all off. And you misspoke, and a crowd will just...
And they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they turn on you.
Right, exactly, and it could happen at the very last joke, and it's like,
right.
We trusted you.
Have you seen...
Yeah, exactly.
Funny. You know,
they,
like,
do trust you.
Yeah.
You know, guys, just tip for me to you, this is also what works in dating.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
I was like,
with
my
the opposite
most
sex
confidence
sex
times, the times that I had the most success... were the times that I was just, like, high confident, walked in, who's ready for this? Like, people were, like, lining up. So I was like, interesting.
When you started talking about this,
that's
I thought,
true.
Oh, I should listen, because I'm terrible at that. And then I thought, wait, should I be listening to this now?
Well, it's recorded, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Come back to it.
No, but it's so true. I know everyone's coupled, but... to the audience, even, here's a tip. Act confident, and then people are going to want to date you.
It's true, because I was always, like, awkward, and, yeah, like, I didn't get my first boyfriend till I was 30, and I think it was because I was finally, like, yeah, I like me. Like, I finally started feeling that, so that, because before I'm just like, nah, no, you're not, nah, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, they're...
Can I just tell you, Vanessa, that just even the idea of you thinking that is so, like, laughable. I mean, like, I get that you're a human being, because I know you as a human being, but can I just tell you that, like, every person, like, even every interview we've had thus far, everybody mentioned you as, like, one of the most, like,
that they
amazing
fuck
people.
Me.
That they want to be like you. They always want to have sex with you. They're all about having sex with you. A big list of people that would just do it at any time.
Well, it's so funny because, I would have confidence on stage, but, like, during dates, I'm like, no, I'm super awkward. Don't look at my body.
Oh, what's your hand doing? Get away!
It would just terrify me. And it wasn't till, like, and that's what I was saying, like, you know, taking a leadership position and, like, starting to do, like, and branch out, like, and do my own shows and stuff. And then I was like, okay, like, I feel good about me, you know, and it took a while, but I was just like,
because you're great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah. Part of me is always a little afraid of telling people, you know, that they are, because, like, maybe it's okay that you don't. Like, I'm like, no. I want you to write another one of those beautiful, shows where it's a little bit about not quite getting it. So that's fine. You don't need to know.
You need to be sad to write.
I don't actually believe that.
No, me either.
Nor would I take away your happiness in any way.
Oh, thanks. I don't believe that either. I'm like, I could be happy and be funny still.
Yeah. Like, you just make jokes about different things.
Right.
In fact, I try really hard not to be so cynical, like, in comedy, because there's a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I try to prefer to get out of, I don't like making jokes that way. And I don't not let people around me make those jokes, but I certainly try to, I don't know, be more pleasant.
I get that.
The idea that it's not just like this asshole.
Right.
Like, well, not everyone, you don't have to be mean to everybody.
Or just like make it super absurd, I guess. Like, I don't know. I'm super into absurd stuff, sketches, performing, rather than like, people ask me, I don't know if you guys seen the cupcake video.
Yep.
Someone asked me, like, so what were you trying to say with that?
Really?
I'm like, nothing. like, are you saying that women are like, I'm like, nope, I didn't say anything about women. I was just eating a cupcake.
Oh my God. Isn't that I'm with salad?
Yeah. I was like, no.
Which is so funny that you call it the cupcake video when it's time with salad.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy, because I'm writing it down. Thanks for nothing, Vanessa. Sorry. I was going to Google the wrong thing.
But I always,
video.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not trying to make a statement or anything. I'm just talking about me or like my experiences, you know.
Have you run into that a lot? Where you write a thing and, because I feel like sometimes there are moments where I am trying to say something with a particular project. But then there are other times where I'm not trying to say anything. I just thought this was a funny premise. Right. And then people are going to perceive it the way that they want to, and so does that happen a lot? Like, oh, hey, you did this thing, let me attach my own my own meaning behind it.
Oh, yeah, like, I think that's gonna happen, like, with anything, and, like, you know, some people could, like, are offended by whatever you do, or, like, but, yeah, usually, like, anything that I write or do is just coming from personal experience. Like, I try to be as honest and, like raw as I can, vulnerable. But, yeah, I guess, like, sometimes people take it a different way or whatever, you know. But it's not, like, there are a lot of, like, writers that can write with, like, intent to, like, make a statement or be political and stuff, and, like, that's super awesome, and, like, I don't write like that, or I'm not, like, as informed about things or a lot of political things to write about that stuff.
Yeah.
So I just, like, write about me. Keep it safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's for me. But, yeah, I admire people that can do that. Like CJ also, like, he's a great, like, satirical writer, and, a lot of people are.
You know, like, every time I've ever seen you do stand-up at an open mic or anything, it seems like everybody is so, like, once you get into your material, I always feel like the audience sort of is like, thank God for a second that this isn't, like, angry or, like, I don't know, negative in some way towards you, towards either the comic who's doing it or something else. Like,
oh, cool.
I don't know. I always feel like everybody kind of loosen up once you get into your segment. It always, like, I don't know. The response is always really warm too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I'll like talk about working with kids or my boyfriend or whatever, you know, just normal stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not real good at like making like one-liners. That's what it's like my week. I like tell stories, which sometimes sucks when they're like 4 minutes and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's too short. But yeah. I think I guess I should like work on that because a lot of I went on an audition recently and they were like, you have 2 minutes to do stand up, and I was like, I don't have anything. I tried, but nothing really.
I took a workshop. I believe it was with David Crabb, who comes and does the storytelling.
I took his workshop. Yeah.
And
we took it together?
No, not together. I think it did also.
Yeah, all at different times. Oh. Yeah. We had this conversation about how to tell stories and like what you're telling them for in the group that we were in.
Mm.
And he was like, if you need to tell a story, you might have to tell it in different ways in different places. So you need to learn how to tell the same story in different time periods. So like you can, if it takes you 10 minutes to tell this story, figure out how to tell that story in 5 minutes, in 2 minutes, in 1 minute. And he was like, you never know what you're going to need it for. And I think a lot of the girls in the workshop that I was taking were like established storytellers in town, and they were very much there to be like, tell me how to make myself crisper or whatever.
Right.
And so his notes were very like, okay, this is what you need to do. So he like gave us a little like, just a little breakdown of the way you build a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy enough to just sort of go add some details and you get to live in that or just that. But it's almost like the metaphor. I don't know if you've heard, there's a metaphor in the curriculum right now about the game of the scene being the trunk of the tree, and then the details that you get to add being the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I write, I just write trunk and then add some branches later.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no. What happens? This happens, this happens, this happens.
Bullet points,
Or like game pieces where it's like, you know, B1, B2, B3, done.
Right.
Okay, now let's add on all the rest of the details.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that's kind of the way of like breaking it down in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell your stories in 1 minute. You just have to cut it down to the tiniest details.
Right.
And then that'll be able to do it. You don't necessarily have to... You don't have to go hack and be set up punchline or anything.
Yeah.
But I like how standard format I'm calling hack.
Right. Yeah. Like it's regular.
Whatever. It's like vanilla. but you know, like that way you can do your stories that you want to tell that have the feeling and the meaning, but find a way to tell them real tiny like.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's hard because I did it with, like, I'd say it's like a 4 minute story. And I tried to say it in two, and it was just, nah. Like, it just didn't work. But I hadn't, like, practiced it or anything. It, like, caught me off guard. I should have it handy.
Having the ability to, like, for instance, when you were in the neighborhood and that one day you're doing your intro monologue and you could tell that we were having technical difficulties in that moment. And so you just kept talking for a little while. And I've watched it over and over to try to figure out where it is that you, like, are... Okay, let's do this. But you're so smooth that I was like, this is what the story is. This is how this works out.
I was hosting the neighborhood and I was just going to do like 4 or 5 minutes, but then I saw like 5 guys run to a camera. So I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to keep talking then.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I remember some of you were standing from that and you were talking about like the daycare thing and like your boyfriend stuff. And I remember just like that really pleasant story about that kid who like says that every day is his birthday and like, that was so just like, it was so pleasant and just like a really good joke.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, it's not even like, it's just real. Like, I'm just like, that's the thing too. I'm like, it just does happen, like, every day. He thinks it's his birthday tomorrow. He's like, oh, my birthday's tomorrow. I'm like, no, okay. Sure. I'm like, is he, like, you know, like, 51st dates? Like, he forgot. And we have to tell him every day that it's not his birthday tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
He lost his memory the day before his birthday.
Oh, he's also 45 years old.
He's
45.
In your class. He's in preschool. We have to tell him every day.
But
he's
none
45.
Of the teachers can figure out. I don't know if he has a mental thing or.
He looks great.
This is one long performance piece that we've all just been passing down.
That's funny. I had a kid this week. We were reading like a book in Spanish, and he was like, how do you know Spanish? What's Spanish? What is that? And I was like, oh, well, I know Spanish because my parents are Mexican. I grew up like speaking Spanish. And I was like, oh, Jessica, like another student, her parents are also Mexican. And I was just going with that. And then he's a white little boy, and he said, I want to be Mexican. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to talk about something else now. But then as soon as his mom gets there, she was like, oh, hi, how's your day? And he runs up to her, and he's like, Mom, I want to be Mexican. I'm like, what? This looks bad. Like, your teacher is telling you about... I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk about race at school. Sorry. We're all the same.
You never know. You never know how kids like consume things or like take them in, you know, or what, like, that means to them. You're like, it's not a thing.
I was like, you can speak Spanish, it's fine. You don't have to be Mexican. I said the wrong things, and he, like, latched onto them. I should have just said, anyone can learn Spanish. Damn it.
Oh, it's all right. Like, not you.
I wonder if you even would try to... If you would even be able to remedy that by telling them, like, oh, hey, like, remember the other day when, like, you mentioned you wanted to be Mexican, but, like, what I should have said was this, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's not even going to remember.
Yeah.
How old are the kids? No,
they're 3.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to remember.
They're like, no.
I'm surprised
what
he maintained.
What a day-to-day adventure that is, though. Yeah. Oh, like, every day is going to be a new thing where you're just like, don't run to your parents saying something.
They have to watch, like, everything we say because they, like, will repeat immediately. Like, they hear the word and they're like, huh? Like, last time I was just like, oh my, I have real bad cramps. And I swear they started chanting, cramps, 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 cramps. And I was like, stop! Why are you doing this? They were like, cramps, cramps. They don't know what it, they just thought it was a funny word.
I guess it's a satisfying word.
And they were just chanting it. And I'm like, seriously? You guys are the worst.
I'm also, like, imagining you, like, sitting down, like, holding your sides. Yeah. Just like, squint it, please.
Yeah, like, stop yelling. It was so bad. Yeah, just like anything. Oh, so no. We always have to, like, spell words to each other, me and my co-teacher, or... Because they're like, huh, what?
I remember spelling words. My parents used to spell stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I became an excellent speller.
From listening to
them. I would try to figure it out. And be like,
I'm a bad speller, so it's hard for me. I'm always like, huh?
See, I remember as a kid, my parents doing that to me, like when they wanted to curse. So I thought, like, spelling it was the way that you could just curse without... So I did it in class.
I
did it in class, thinking that, like, oh, just spelling it negates the badness of it. Because I can spell.
No one knows what I'm saying.
Yeah, like I could spell very early on, so I was just like, all right, fuck. All right, next day I said fuck. No, but yeah, like, in class, I remember spelling ass. Like, I just wanted to spell, like, I had to go to the bathroom, and I just, yeah, I said something about needing to go use my ASS or something, and she was just like, go to the principal's office. What are you, what the fuck was that? Why are you like, I was like, but I spelled it. What are you?
I need
Why
to go.
Why are you being such a B-I-T-C-H?
Yeah.
I like the idea that your teacher's response was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Why are you smiling while you do that?
What if a kid right came now? Up to me and was like, I need to go use my ass.
Yeah.
I think that was so great. I'd be like, okay.
Please do.
Go
please,
use
go
it.
On. Yeah, yeah.
I'd be impressed, too, if a 3-year-old said that. I'd be like, oh, good. Good.
Glad you know what that is.
No. I'm glad that you don't just surprise me with it after having used it.
Right.
You know, like.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh man. So just sort of finally to wrap up, I wanted to just sort of ask you, you know, like, what do you think if you had to give? We asked this of Kevin McDonald. If you had to give one piece of advice to somebody who is just starting out, and like. They don't know how to find their way. They don't know what their right path is or what to do. What would you suggest to them to get themselves started?
I would definitely. I know it sounds like weird, but
get your butthole tattooed.
Get your butthole tattooed.
It's always a good starting place.
I would definitely say to one, go watch an improv show. To go watch any show, like a comedy show of any kind, like get familiar with your city and like what kind of shows are available. And then after like watching it, like then like taking a class, you know, to get involved, meet people. That totally helped me. I was the same, you know, I didn't really know anybody or I was intimidated. Like, how do you do a show, you know, how do you, I couldn't imagine, you know, like, actually, like, booking a show somewhere, calling people, you know, I learned that through meeting people who do it and getting involved and stuff, so I would definitely say taking, like, improv classes or sketch classes and getting involved in a community, for sure, like, gets you there, wherever you want to go, or at least gets you networking, you know, with people. People
Absolutely.
That have the same interests, you know, that, like, also want to do comedy or film stuff or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you'd be surprised the people that are around and what they can do there for you.
Yeah, it's I feel like with the community and everything, like, everybody we know, I'm like, yeah, there's literally, like, nothing that we can't do. Like, we know so many people and with so many skills and things that are accessible to us, it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can make anything that we want.
Yeah. So.
There's something great and freeing about that.
Yeah. And I think that every city, like, has, like, this, you know, like, there's improv theaters or comedy, like, scenes everywhere, so.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But
I would say
is
that
the
one
best.
Thing. Well, definitely. But no. But what I was gonna say is that I feel like Austin as a town is a little bit more open to each other.
Oh yeah.
Like there's a lot of, you know, in Chicago there's 3 or 4 schools, and like
right.
in New York there's 3 or 4 schools, and they're not friends with each other. They don't like cross pollinate.
No.
They don't like each other.
Right.
They don't respect each other's thing. Whereas here, it's like
it's
you can go
city.
All around, and
yeah.
everybody's kind of doing different projects, and no one begrudges each other their projects. They're just like, maybe I'll be involved in this, or maybe I'll be involved in
right.
that, whenever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think to a certain extent we know because of the large breadth of people we do know
mm-hmm.
across all schools in Austin, we could get anything done.
Right.
You know, and
yeah.
I mean, 6 degrees of separation, we could do anything.
I know, yeah. For real. And yeah, like I said, there's whether you just want to write or perform or do both, there's a lot of access to that when you go into a community like that.
Yeah, totally.
So take improv classes or sketch classes.
Listen to that, audience.
Yeah.
Listen
there's
to
five
that.
Theaters in this city.
What was Kevin
Use
McDonald's
them.
Advice?
I'll
listen
advice.
To it. Kevin McDonald.
No, I was just
yeah.
I was like, I don't remember, honestly.
Yeah, no, it was.
He was like, don't do comedy, it's awful.
And he just walked out. No. No, I can't remember what he said. I'm too involved in this conversation now that I remember what we were talking about.
Really about writing?
I think a little bit more. It was also, we were like planning butthole tattoos for the future. We were like, we wanted to coordinate next time he was in town.
So just to get
like a friend butthole tattoo.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, you talked about that with him too?
Makes me very angry.
I can feel it. I can feel it coming off. I feel really bad because I was trying to listen to it on the way here and my old ass iPhone was just not giving it to me. Because you shared it with us.
Plus, the thing too is that he comes at it from a totally different point of view.
Oh, definitely.
So, like, I think a lot of his stuff is just, like, do it. Just get out there and do it. You know what I mean? Which to a certain extent is all of our, advice to anybody at any point.
Absolutely.
But because of the breadth of projects and the different things and the ups and downs of his own career, I think there's lots of just get it done.
Just do it, yeah.
Try to keep the gigs going. Keep them rolling.
And that's the thing, like, especially with what we do, like, I don't know what's going to happen, where I'm going to end up, what's going to come along. Hopefully great things, you know?
Yeah.
But I think as long as I'm just doing it, like, I'm happy, you know?
Yeah.
I just love doing it and doing dumb stuff, especially with my friends and people that I like. It's just, I'm like, this is my life. I always, like, have a, like, flash forward to when I'm, like, real old and, like when I'm, like, 115 and I'm looking back at my albums and I'm like, oh, we did shows in a laundry theater. And I want all my photos to be black and white for some reason, but they're not.
Sepia-toned?
Yeah. I'm like, this was the best time of my life.
That's funny. I always reflect upon 18-year-old me, who wasn't sure if she should move away from Boston, what to do, and how to, what's the next adventure? And it's like, I love the idea of visiting her and being all like, this is what you do. Then she's like, what? Yeah!
I know. Like, yes. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
No.
Yeah. Like going back to like young Vanessa and being like, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Like, Don't worry about it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
You're still kind of awkward with your body, but it's cool.
People are more accepting in 2016.
Also, you have a duck on your butt. Oh, but like, what? It's the worst.
She imagines that, like, an actual duck has become fused with your butt. The idea of a tattoo.
Is that what phones are?
How do you sit on that?
I'm like, everyone has it, though. Like, everyone had to get one. It's the government. Just go back and freak myself out.
Yeah.
It's how we listen to NSYNC.
Yeah.
Nice. This guy's the president now. Justin Timberlake.
It's Donald Duck.
Yeah.
We had to get one.
All right, that was my final question. Did you guys have any other final questions to ask Vanessa before we wrap up?
Did you ask what she was doing next?
Oh, we did talk about that. Mm-hmm. Well, she talked about how she's going to work on another show, but she didn't give us spoilers.
Yeah.
Do you have dates?
No,
hey, you got dates?
No. Right. You sound like my mom. You got dates? You going on dates? Just in the writing process now. Just spewing it all out, seeing what sticks.
That sounds great.
I really didn't mean to yell at you. Wendell, do you have anything?
Oh, no. I just, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for being with us.
This is so
really
fun.
I really appreciate it.
I hope it was fun and good.
Yeah.
It very much was.
And like I said, I will reiterate every person that we've talked to thus far when they talked about people who are inspiring to them or their favorite, it's always you.
No.
It's always you.
Everybody, go back and listen to all of them. Not a joke.
I would say that at least more than half mention you as being like, well, she's just so great, and so, you know, you inspire a whole host of great people.
Wow, that makes me feel real good.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
We love you, Vanessa.
Thanks.
The audience also says they love you, too. Yay!
Hey, Podcast, but Why Podcast.